It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, this is Jay Horowitz with the latest edition of Amazing Mets Conversation with my old friend Daniel Murphy. Murph, the journey is taking you to Salt Lake City. Left Long Island, you're in Salt Lake City, get back into the majors. Tell me, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very grateful to the Los Angeles Angels for signing me. I didn't really see that coming. Grateful to my wife, Tori, and my family, who she has taken on all four kids in this responsibility so that I could go and play like a child, hopefully. The Long Island Ducks for letting me play there. And then, you know, Sam and Seth Levinson and Keith Miller, who you know. I'm not sure how much heaven and earth and what they had to give up to get me this gig with the Angels, but I've got it. And I'm looking forward to getting on their sandlot here in Salt Lake City.
Murphy, it's fair to say your whole career, you've kind of taken for granted. I mean, facing a child, you only had one school, Jacksonville, for your four-year scholarship. You were switched around with positions. 13th round draft pick, 394. You feel like you've had to prove yourself? Hey, this challenge is just another line of challenges to prove yourself?
Well, I think that just by the nature of aiming, hopefully, at a worthy goal, and one of the goals I was aiming at was to be in the big leagues, and then I think maybe on a more temporary or short-term basis was to try and be the best baseball player I could, is that you're always trying to prove yourself, I think, not only to you, but to those who are the decision makers, that they can hopefully, you know, move you through the system, you know, with the Mets at the time. And I think I would say as I've gotten older, it's more been picking worthy goals on a short and long-term basis and then trying to pursue them admirably is what I've been aiming at. And I think naturally by doing that, you're trying to prove yourself.
With the Ducks, you know, 330, 17, 18 RBIs, couple of home runs. Did that go as well as expected? Because you really hadn't played for 2 years, right? You were 2020 with Colorado, you were 21, 22. So did the Ducks part of it go as well as expected?
I would say better than I expected. I didn't know how I was going to hit. I knew that my body felt good, and I felt like I could move. But also at the same time, those are professionals who have been honing their craft. I was extremely pleased and grateful to, I think, be as productive as I was while in Long Island.
How much did it help that you had a friendly face, you know, Wally Backman, former Met there? Did he make the transition easier for you, you know, to get where you had to get?
Wally is a great manager. He does a wonderful job, I believe, of allowing his players to go out there and express themselves in a really free and enjoyable way. And so he was always very forthcoming and straightforward. I was pretty significantly the oldest one there until Alejandro Diaz comes. So Wally was always coming and talking to me, asking me how I felt, if I felt like I needed a DH at bat, day at the DH maybe to get off my legs. But he was great. I thought he did a great job of letting guys know when they're going to play. He posted the lineup the day before. And so, you know, I really enjoyed playing for Wally.
And Wally's a good friend, you know. And he was, he wants to win, but his main satisfaction is getting guys like yourself back to the majors, even if it means not enough wins. I mean, you get that from him, that he was so excited when guys like you move up the ladder and slide with MLT.
Yeah, I think that he said that even at the beginning, he would talk about just how many guys and how many players had come through Long Island and while he was there that had become affiliated again and also gotten back to the major leagues. I believe only a few days after I left, but Danny Hecheverria, who played shortstop for so long with the Marlins, he signed with Kansas City, and you could see how how happy and excited Wally would get when he would talk about the players who had come through and were able to get affiliated again. And he gets a great amount of joy from that.
Reverend, you retired in January 2021, right? I think you retired.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gracious way of saying I quit before I got fired. But yeah, I stopped playing.
When did this possibility, I remember you sent me a video of you taking some swings at a park. I guess you went down to the Dominican Republic one time. When did the dream kind of fluctuate in your mind that this, hey, I want to give this a shot?
The way it kind of started is, I would say around the postseason in October of 2022 this past year, I just started moving again. And it wasn't training for a baseball season, because I don't believe that I would have gotten as much enjoyment if it was specifically to train for a baseball season. I just got really curious about, I would say, the swing, baseball movement, and then I got really curious about baseball in general. I mean, I was watching Ken Burns' documentary, and I had so little idea of just how cool and just how American our game is. I mean, it's two heavyweight fighters, one in the pitcher's box, because that's what they used to call it. That's what Christy Mathewson called it. And one in the batter's box. The man in the pitcher's box, he goes first. And then the man in the batter's box responds. And then, like proper Americans, all hell breaks loose after that. The ball goes. We're running the bases. People are yelling. And I just didn't really realize that. And so as I got into it, I was moving good. My body felt good. And I continued to try and test it as if I was in an off season. So I hit off the tee, I would take batting practice, I got some live at bats, and by my eye, I always felt good in the batter's box if I was choosing good balls to hit. And Ted Williams asked Roger Hornsby one time what the key to being a good hitter is. And Roger Hornsby told him, get a good ball to hit. And it made so much sense to me. And so as I was taking these at bats, I'm choosing good balls. I don't know if I'm going to go fast enough to really be productive, but the next place to test it would have been live at bats against professionals. And fortunately, the Ducks gave me that chance. And so I would say it spawned more out of curiosity than a desire to get back and play.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Professional baseball.
Let me tell you where other people might have not believed it. 2015, you hit a home run, six consecutive postseason game. They had an RBI at seven. Next year, the Mets don't sign you. And a lot of people say, well, he won't get that power stuff. That was a blip in the thing. Well, the next 2 years, I think you hit 48 home runs, drove close to 200 runs. Is that just another case of, you know, not, you know, you want to show, but hey, you know, this is what I'm made of. I can do it. And do you like it anyway to what you try to do now with some of the stuff that came up in your career?
Being fortunate enough to be on that run with the team in 15, that from a personal standpoint, when you're able to have that kind of success, which I had never experienced, I would say even the kind of success I was personally able to have the last 2 months of the season, that kind of belongs to you now. And I would say that, well, as the season started in 16, the game feels like it slows down a bit, but you're also the person that has had success. And so it was able to build on itself for those next 2 years. And we had great teams in DC. And I think that, you know, part of me wanted to really live up to the contract that I signed. I had never, ever dreamed of ever getting that much money to play baseball, and so there I really yearned to try and live up to that contract, and was fortunate enough to play well. And I think, you know, this time around, I would say a lot of it has been gratitude, as I talk about, you know, being able to play with the Mets and the Rockies and the Nats and the Cubs, is the things that baseball has afforded me and my family make me extremely grateful. And as I was going through this process of kind of curious experimentation, it got to the point where it felt like if I didn't try to go and play professionally, that it would have been more out of fear than anything else. And so that is probably one of the biggest reasons why I ended up doing it.
When you came to the old Tyra's Day game a year ago, I couldn't even get you to take the money I wanted to give you. But so what you're doing now is not money driven, right? It's the stuff you have illuminating right now.
Yeah, and it's not just because of how gracious baseball has been to myself and my family. I mean, we live in a beautiful home in Florida, and been able to meet so many people. And so, yeah, it's really afforded me, I would say, the freedom, you know, to play and experiment. And here we are.
What do you think the greatest thing for you is going to be adapting the AAA pitching? I know it's different now in the minors. It's a little different levels, but I mean, you're going up in competition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be fastball velocity and the weapon of the breaking ball. And so I would say that, so Christy Mathewson said this in his book I was reading, Pitching in a Pinch. And so it made really good sense to me. So this has kind of been my approach in the batter's box. But he said that batters only recognize two types of pitch balls, the curve and the straight. Well, they're going to have faster straight ones and better change of paces on those straight ones, change-ups, and the curves are going to be sharper. And so we're going to have to see if I can keep up. There'll be less mistakes.
I'm sure your new teammates are going to be asking you, you know, 140 home runs, over 700 RBI, 3 All-Star team, 296 batting average. Why are you doing this? You envision a lot of questions from the guys when you get to, you know, when you start playing for Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I had some in Long Island, and guys have, you know, kind of talked and, you know, looked and just asked, you know, what's kind of going on. And I'd say the first one is gratitude. That's why I'm doing this. I have a great deal, hopefully, I believe a great deal of gratitude for what baseball has afforded myself and my family over my life and still continues to do. And then the next one probably gets into some of the, you know, the movements and changes I've tried to make to my swing and my movement in general to move a bit better.
Looking back at your mid-career, where, MVP, the LCS in 15, the home runs. What's your fondest memories of your time with the Mets? I mean, all the different positions you played and you are calling the second base, third base, first base, left field. You did it all. What's your fondest memories of your time with the, I think it was 12 years.
And then, it signed in 2006. Some of my fondest memories, I think of one of the first ones that came is when I would say David and I embraced after winning in Chicago, the NLCS. Another one was Familius, like, almost picked me up in Dodger Stadium, I think, after game two that we won. And then we went into the line and we used to do this thing like inside the penthouse that year. And he like grabbed me like a big bear. And then, you know, I think of Ruben Tejada. I just got to hug his neck. He and I crossed paths in Long Island. I was heading out, and he was heading in. And, you know, Ruben and I were together the first instructional league I was there in 2006, and Wilmer Flores, and I think of Lucas Duda. And so, you know, those are some of the memories I probably that come to first.
But my fondest memory is you when you went from first to third. I think it was in the game five, and nobody expected you, and got to third base, and you know, marked the base dealer.
That's been my favorite play, I would say, so far. And don't know if I'll ever get another chance, anything like that. That was my favorite. That's been my favorite play, because it's like baseball is it can be such a chess match. I mean, we're out there, the defense is trying to defend positions. And yeah, that was a play that was probably kind of my whole career in the making. Someone had done that to me when I was in college as a sophomore. They had swiped third base on me when I wasn't paying attention. And I had two thoughts at the same time. One, I thought, that's the coolest thing I've seen. And two was, never let that happen to me again. And so But yeah, I would say that that play specifically is probably my one of my most favorite play.
The way you approach yourself, you were always a pro. Whenever I needed something in the locker room, you were there, and you know, good, bad, 0-for-4, 4-for-4. You know, I mean, David. I mean, David was the same way. Whether he hated good talk to the press when he did well. He always liked to talk with the press when he did not so well. I mean, how did you maintain that stuff through your career? Is always being available with stuff.
It started with the Mets early in the minor leagues. They prepared us, I think, you know, really admirably and well for New York City and what it was going to bring should any of us be fortunate enough to make it to the big leagues and make it for an extended period of time. And that was, it was accountability. And so, you know, I used to talk about better to be at your locker and speak for yourself, especially in a situation that didn't go your way, than to allow someone to speak words for you. And then when I got there, that's what David was always at his locker. You know, he was the one when we weren't playing well that they went to. They weren't coming to my locker when we were in a rough stretch. They were going to David to see, you know, how things were. And he was always accountable. He was always in the lineup. And, you know, David taught me how to be a pro. Like, this is what it looks like to post every day. This is what it looks like to be at your locker at the end of a game and to be accountable, to be a good teammate. And, you know, I have just such admiration for David. And I've taken so many things from him.
Murphy, can you witness any Todd thing now? I mean, you were...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You with the Ducks with like 35, 36, 37 game. Are you going to give it any time? When will you know? If you go 0-for-3, I'm sure you're not going to quit. I mean, but how long will you know in your head whether this is going to work or not?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how long I'll know, and I'm trying. I don't want to put a specific time frame on it. One of the things that I've tried to really do is that I want to show up to work every day. I want to show up to the sandlot and enjoy my work and enjoy my labor. And as long as I'm showing up and enjoying myself, and the responsibility on Tori, my wife, is it too heavy for her to bear? We have 4 children, and we got a 6-month-old, and infants are always right. You know what I mean? And it's better for infants to always be right with 2 people there, if you can do it, than with just 1. And so, you know, I'm overly grateful for the Angels, and I'm going to give them everything I have, and I hope I'm productive, and we'll see where that lands.
Speaking to the Angels, I know it's down the road, but how cool would it be to be a teammate of Ohtani and Mike Trout?
You mean Babe Ruth and Roger Hornsby? Yeah, that would be pretty cool. That's what my son Noah, who was on the plane with us, he was a bit smaller then, but he goes, Dad, I want to meet Mike Trout. And I was like, yeah, Dad wants to meet Mike Trout too.
I mean, have you followed closely what Ohtani's done? He's really,
yeah,
really.
He hasn't gotten out in 3 weeks, and that it's. I got a chance to watch him play the Texas series, and then they just went to Kansas City, and it's so impressive. And then when you just think about the load that he has to take on, because he has to prepare himself every day to pitch every 5th day. And then he's taken 4 or 5 at bats every single night, so he has to keep his body sharp for that. I underestimated, you know, just how, I wouldn't say how good he is, but just how much I should try and watch him and how unique this situation of what he's doing is.
Hopefully, we're not doing this situation to be his teammate. Before I get to what piece of football with you, big Jaguar fan, what do you think your outlook's in for your team this year?
I like our quarterback. And then we got Calvin Ridley coming in and coming off a nice run with 1 playoff win last year after winning the division. And then my son and I, Noah, we went out to Kansas City to watch them play the Chiefs at Arrowhead. And that was a lot of fun. I actually used that as a little bit of as a testing field to see if well, I didn't set out to play this season, but I did think that to test it in the fastest sandlot would eventually be somewhere like AAA or the big league. So I went to that game with my son thinking, you know, if you end up in a game like this, is this something you want? And I was like, man, this is a ton of fun. It was a blast to go out there for the postseason game.
Yeah, I got to, you know, because of Pat Mahomes is tied with the Magic, trying to root for him and win my Giants eliminated, but he's some athlete, you know. I mean,
oh my goodness, my goodness. Yeah. He threw so just at the beginning of that game, I've never seen him live, and so he got up and he threw a ball, and it was like a double play ball, and he threw it from like here, like a second baseman, because there was a defender in front of him, so he had to get it around him, and he dropped down and threw it. And I remember thinking he's playing a different game, because that's just, most quarterbacks are kind of, you know, they're right over the top, and if somebody's in front of them, maybe they try to loft it over him, and he just like created a different angle and dropped it right by his side. He's playing a different game.
Well, this should be a friend for decades. He would make me proud if he get back to the majors. He'd be the first guy ever to graduate from an Altivers Day game, which you played in our game last year, make it back to the majors. Nothing would give me better thrill to see you in the Angels box score and not give this your future.
Oh, I appreciate it, Jay. And man, I can tell you that old timers game was a ton of fun. Thank you to Steve Cohen and his wife for putting that on, and for you did a great job. And I could tell you at the time that I was just enjoying that. I had no thoughts whatsoever of trying to
really even be playing.
Now I will say that, you know, I probably shouldn't underestimate maybe how much putting the uniform on again when I started doing this may have been like, oh, that was fun. You know, but not at the time. This wasn't even a thought.
I think I told you this before, Danny. In the years with Washington, you got booed a lot at the City Field. I never booed you once. Did you see, though? I was clapping under the table, so I wouldn't see me clap for it. But I always, a good friend, and we always had a good visit. But listen, wish you and Tori all the best and the kids, and hopefully your dream will come through with you being an Angels uniform soon.
Well, thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I mean, Mets fans boo you. They're supposed to boo the guys in the other uniform. That's their job.
Especially if we get 900 against us.
Well, you know, the ones who play better maybe get booed a little bit louder, a little bit more forcefully.
Murph, I've been praying for you, man.
I appreciate that, Jay.
I hope you'll be in Angel Stadium. And you run into my old friend Bobby V. You know,
yes.
Here.
He does TV, front office, and he does some TV work for him as well, too, yeah.
Bobby V will be the opponent for it, so I know. You know, but all the best, Daniel.
Well, thank you, Jay, and thanks for having me.
I'll be following the box stores.